Okay, our scripture passage is taken from John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. This is the word of the Lord. So, there's a picture. Right? You guys all know what this is, right? It's been quite a week, and you know, at moments, sometimes it doesn't hit you, just kind of, it's news. But then some moments, things hit closer to home. Because I was reading the news this morning, and they've identified all the victims, right? And a lot of you know, 3 out of the 10 were actually like Koreans. You know, 2 of them, young Korean girls, just a little bit older than you guys, 22 years old. You know, one girl from Korea came here to study. Another one, a student at U of T, and she was a member of University of Toronto Korean Students Association. I know all these associations. I used to kind of be involved with them and help lead these student organizations, you know. And it's my office used to be right on that strip of Yonge Street, right? And we'd go walking on there every day. See, and a lot of you guys hang out, go karaoke there, eat. It's kind of surreal, isn't it? And as we were singing these praise songs today, I don't know, I was really, it made me reflect on all this. You know, these young people, their lives just randomly cut short, right? It just doesn't make sense, you know? And the effect it would have on their families and, you know, it made me think, because some of those girls are so young. What if something like that happened to one of you here? I don't know, I think and we'd all be devastated, right? It doesn't just affect the individual, it affects the entire community. So as I was reflecting on this kind of incident, I know you had, for those here on Friday, you had some chance to reflect on it. But we don't know exactly what was going on in the mind of this individual, but as I was thinking about it, one thing that kind of became clear is this is an individual that seemed to be very isolated, right? Isolation. And an isolation that may have led to anger and hatred, right? So this isolation leading, having one effect after the other, ultimately leading to a consequence. So it made me realize that there's a deep implication from this. You know, your own well-being, right? Your own well-being and sense of connectedness, it's important for yourself, but not only for yourself. Your own well-being and connectedness is important for the well-being of those around you as well. Okay? So it's almost an obligation for us to be well and to be connected for the sake, not only for myself, but for others too. Okay? Do you know what I'm saying? And we've talked about this a lot in our high C, right? One of our March break themes was what? From isolation to connectedness. Yeah. I mean, we've talked about this, that we are all made for connection. You know, that's, God has instilled that in our DNA so that we are to be connected. So there's one portion from our passage today. Next slide. Yeah. Abide in me as I abide in you. Okay, so this passage that we read today, this is part of Jesus' long farewell speech that he was making to his disciples. Jesus kind of knew what was coming up, that he was going to be persecuted and ultimately his life would come to an end. So he's kind of saying a long farewell speech. He knew that he was going to meet his end. But despite that, he was telling them, to abide in me. So the Greek word for abide, it can also mean dwell or remain. Okay, so Jesus is saying, remain in me. Okay, as I remain in you. That's very deep sense of intimacy. Even though he's going away, he's telling them to remain in him. All right, because from that later on, Jesus says to them also, love one another as I have loved you. Okay, so in other words, he was telling the disciples to remain deeply connected, okay, with him as well as each other. Okay, but that's often not the reality of our lives, is it? Isn't it? Right? We're not always connected. I mean, oftentimes I think we're very isolated and not connected with each other or one another. And one of the causes, as I was thinking about it, of our isolation is rejection. Okay? Or fear of it. So there's different types of rejection, right? Social rejection. People exclude me or don't talk to me. There's societal rejection. I don't get accepted by the good places, the good schools, or I can't find a job maybe. Those are kind of, that's another form of rejection too. There's sexual rejection. Girls don't like me because I'm awkward. Or guys don't like me because I'm not pretty enough, right? There's all sorts of fears of rejection. And I'm not confident in myself because I doubt I have anything to offer. That's another fear of rejection. And there's so many others. There's addictions is another common cause that leads to isolation. There's drug and alcohol addiction, right? There's sexual addiction for others. There are things like video games and internet. And also a big thing in your generation, I think, is like things like social media. You know, like the irony is social media is meant to connect us, but I think it makes us more isolated because we find ourselves feeling so low. I don't know about you. Whenever I look at Facebook and stuff, I don't feel good after it. All these people are so happy and all that. But then, so it makes me think, well, am I this happy, right? But then it makes me realize, is everyone really that happy? So anyways, when we're isolated, what happens? There's a lot of things that happen. I think one thing that we try to do to compensate for our fear of isolation is we try to be self-sufficient. In other words, we try to make it so that I don't need to anyone, right? So I can take care of myself. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being independent. We need to first have a sense of who we are and our identity in order to be interdependent. But that's different from trying to be self-sufficient where I don't need anyone, okay? Or the other thing you can start to do is let the anger that you have from rejection or isolation start turning into anger, okay? And the danger in this day and age is with technology, you can easily find other people who kind of feel the same way as you do, and then you start to reinforce each other. Like, yeah, you know, like this anger. And then that's what happens, right? We have all these pockets in the internet. And then what happens is you start developing a warped sense of reality. Like, because these people think the same way I do, you think that that's reality. And I think this may have been some of what was going on, right? That ultimately leads to these crazy kind of actions. And the unfortunate thing is the perpetrators of these things are always usually men, right? So for the guys, it's really important because the world, especially for guys, it doesn't teach guys how to be in touch with who they are, their emotions, and it's very outwardly focused. Like you got to be a high-performing man and this and that. And so it can easily lead to a warped sense of reality, okay? So I'm letting you guys know that. My point being, all this goes against, right, the purpose for which we were created, which is to be connected with one another and with God. Right? So since our March retreat, we've been talking a lot about, who remembers the theme of our March retreat? Say it out loud if you know it. The me
I am today coming
There you go. Yes, the me I am today becoming the me I will be tomorrow. It's all about that journey. So part of this journey, guys, is discovering, okay, the things that make me isolated and less connected. That's a really important part of this journey, okay? To discover the things in yourself that make you more isolated and less connected. Okay? And then, once you identify it, being able to start removing these things that make me isolated. Okay? So Jesus uses the example of pruning a tree. You guys know what pruning a tree is all about? Right? Okay, so you see this tree out the window here, right? It's got a lot of different branches, right? Now, I don't know if this is a fruit tree, but okay, think of an example of a fruit tree, okay? You just let a tree grow however it wishes, and it'll start getting all sorts of branches, right? And then, what kind of fruit will it bear? Like, if it's an apple tree, what kind of fruits? Crab apples. What are crab apples? They're like little, these little dinky things, right? That you can't really eat. I don't know, have you tried tasting a crab apple? It's really sour, right? It tastes awful, right? It's not good fruit. So what do we need to do to that tree? Right? You need to start cutting off excess branches, right? Because when you have too many branches, like the water and all the nutrients can't go evenly well into all the branches. You have too much stuff, too much junk. So you gotta cut out that junk, right? What? Thought I was going to say something else? Yeah. Got to cut out that junk, all right? The excess branches. That way, there's fewer branches, but more nutrients go, and those branches can bear nice, plump, juicy apples. Okay? That's the example. So, in a similar way, inside of us, we have all sorts of things, but we have a lot of things that make us more isolated, and therefore we can't bear good fruit in life. That's what Jesus is saying. We gotta prune these. So, I mean, he's saying it's not us who does it. God comes and we have to let God prune these things. Okay? Cleanse. It's another word. There's the Greek word. It can mean prune or it can also mean cleanse. It's the same thing. We gotta cleanse ourselves, remove it, prune it. That's a good slogan. Gotta cleanse, remove. Wait, what did I say? Gotta cleanse it, remove it, prune it. All right? You guys like slogans this way. So the first thing, right? So ask yourself, what is there inside of me that is leaving me more isolated and less connected? So in other words, have you been putting on a cover to mask your isolation? So that next step I've been talking about is to prune, cleanse, and remove those things that isolate you. But as I said, it's not what we do with our sheer willpower. Like, just you identify it, you can't just say, all right, I really just want to remove it. I don't know, that often doesn't work, right? So the next slide. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Okay, this is from verse 3. You have already been cleansed by the word that I've spoken to you. Do you see this? It's not by your own effort that you're cleansed of these things that isolate you. Jesus is saying it's something that happens to them. So it's something that happens to us, okay? By the words that are spoken to us. So my friends, this is what I mean. This is the power of God's word, okay? God's message for us. This is the power of it. When we can hear, when we can listen and open our hearts, to really listen and let God's word and message soak into our hearts, that's when God creates that change. God removes and prunes our hearts of those things that isolate us, right? So in times, for example, when I'm speaking God's words on God's behalf, or when you read the Bible on your own maybe, or even when you're going through something, a situation at school, and then you remember a message that has been said to you, these are the kind of things I'm talking about, okay? The words that have been spoken to you. So the things that isolate us are removed simply by soaking in the word, right? So when God's word soaks into our lives, and then we also continually seek, so the next slide. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. All right, what does this mean? Is Jesus just a genie in a bottle, like, oh, I want this and I give this to you? No, no. So read the first part. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. So in other words, if we are deeply connected with God and we let God's words continue to soak into us, what this means is what we actually want starts to change. Our desire starts to become, oh God, yes, I see now these things that are isolating me. Please remove them. That's my prayer. Do you guys get that? What we want starts to change when we are connected with God. Our desire becomes to have a deeper connection, right? So we our prayer starts to become asking God to remove things like my fear of rejection, my anger maybe at being rejected, or my lack of confidence. All of these things I pray, and God will be faithful and start slowly removing these things. All right? And then the final thing, Jesus talks a lot about in this passage about bearing fruit, right? What does that mean to bear fruit? I don't know. What do you guys think? What does it mean to bear fruit? Emily, what does bearing fruit mean to you? Okay. Yeah. Very good. That is definitely one way of bearing fruit. How about you, Gene? Any other thoughts? Yeah. Being nice, spreading joy. Good. There's all of you guys have good insights, but I think one thing I got from this passage is that fruit that comes from being deeply connected with God and with others is a sense of peace. Okay, and I get that because in the passage before this, Jesus shared something. I think there's a slide. This is what he said to his disciples: "Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give to you." Okay, we have a sense of peace. You know that. Okay, God is looking after me, and God's word is continuously speaking to me, saying that I am precious, I am loved, and God is going to be with me. Okay, it gives a sense of peace. Not only that, you know, so imagine peace. When peace begins to start dancing, you know what that becomes? Peace dancing becomes joy. Hey, how do you like that? Joy is peace dancing. So not only comes peace, but with it is joy. Because when you have that sense of peace, you feel the freedom and you start to move and dance, right? And it becomes joy. Peace and joy, aren't they wonderful fruits to have? Those are such wonderful fruits. And so then when we have peace and joy, what does God then do? God sends us out into the world to be agents of peace and joy. Right? That is the mission of the church, folks. That's the mission of our church. In church, we come and we gather and we experience peace and joy amongst ourselves and with God, right? And then that's why I got you guys to share that. We literally share peace and joy with one another. Okay, that's what we do in the church. That's what we're supposed to do when we gather. We worship God together, but we come together to share that peace and joy. Because this, and by doing that, we get a taste of what God wants in the world. Okay? The church is supposed to be a taste of what God wants in the world. And then, when we go outside of church, we're called to be agents of peace and joy wherever you are. All right? So, in your schools where you spend a lot of time, you bring peace. Okay? You have peace. You're not easily shaken or fearful of rejection, right? Because you know who you are and you are deeply connected with God. And so with compassion, you can be a friend, right, to someone who might experience more rejection, or you can even stand up for someone who is being rejected by others because you're more confident in your connection with God, right? And as a church, together, we also go out into the world. And that's why this summer, we're going to reflect a lot more on the mission of the church, right? Because we don't just do it as individuals, but together, we go out as agents of peace and joy in this world. Because we need peace in this world. All these things that happen, you know, things that we can be prevent by providing peace, right? We need to let peace exist and then dance into joy. And that starts inside each of us, right? When we ourselves are deeply connected with God and allow God's word to soak into us. Okay? So may God's word be active and alive in you, in cleansing you from things that isolate you so that you can experience much more deeper connection. Amen? Amen.